Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this meeting of Exmouth Town Council's Planning Committee on Tuesday, the 30th of August, 2022. Agenda item one is apologies for absence, and we have those from Councillor Brian Bailey. Do we have any more?
Councillor Lynn Elson.
Okay, and from Lynn Elson, thank you. We don't have any public speakers, do we? Okay. Item number two is the minutes of the meeting held on the 15th of August, 2022. So we need to confirm the minutes as attached. Does anybody have any comments they wish to make about those minutes at all? Okay, do we have a proposer and a seconder for acceptance? Councillor Rosser and Councillor Cullis. All those in favour of accepting those minutes? Cool. Thank you very much, everyone. Item number three on the agenda is declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensations, where you need to declare any interests that you may have on the agenda and agree any dispensations to stay. I'll start with regards to the licensing committee, to being the chair of the licensing committee, and there are some licensing issues on here later on. Specifically though, the Mickey's Bar application, where I chaired the subcommittee that agreed their initial license.
Okay.
Do we have any more declarations of interest at all? No? Cool. Okay, so item number four is urgent business. To consider any items which, in the opinion of the chairman, should be dealt with as a matter of urgency. I don't think there are any. Okay, so we move to number five, tree and advertising consent applications. Brixington, planning application 22-1053-tree, 1 Stanley Walk. The proposal is T1 Turkey Oak to reduce the tree back to previous pruning points, and these works form part of the healthy management of the tree. We have a response from the tree officer, who says that the full report previously circulated to members was previously circulated to members by email. It's an application which is a repeat of works regularly carried out since 2006 to reduce the tree by no more than 1.5 to 2 metres with restricted cuts of no more than 25 millimetres, and this will help maintain the tree to an appropriate size and help reduce the risk of damage caused by seasonal changes in moisture levels within the soil, and they recommend approval. Does anybody from the ward have any comments at all?
Yeah, I'm the tree
officer. Okay, so Councillor Coleman, you're happy. Councillor Cahill?
Happy with the tree officer, sir.
Councillor Nicholas?
Yeah. I'm going to tree officer's report. This is what I presume you were reading.
Yes. Yeah, it was, yeah.
I can't really hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I will.
Okay, I will.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. That's cool. I will. Endeavour to speak up. Do we have a proposer and a seconder? I should have asked that as we went along. Okay, happy to second that. Okay, so all those in favour? Thank you. Okay, we move to Lilham, planning application 22-1502 tree. The location is flat 6, St. Hilarion, 23 Portland Avenue. The proposal is for T1 Horse Chestnut crown lift over Portland Avenue to comply with the Highways Act 1980 and over the parking area, bin store and neighbouring driveway to 3 metres above ground level. The maximum diameter cut of 50 millimetres. T2 Copper Beach crown lift over Portland Avenue to comply again with the Highways Act 1980 and over the parking area to 3 metres above ground level, with an MDC of 40 millimetres. T3, Copper Beach, dismantle to ground level. T4, Beach, crown lift over Douglas Avenue to comply with the Highways Act, MDC of 40 millimetres. The reason for works is T1, T2 and T4 are routine arboricultural management. T3 is appropriate arboricultural management due to the condition of the tree. We have the tree officer's report. Would you like to read it, Lisa? Thank you. It's probably best.
So the tree officer says that the full report previously circulated to members by email. The proposed works to trees T1, T2 and T4 are minimal to ensure appropriate clearance over the highway and nearby infrastructure and will not be detrimental to either the health or amenity of the trees. The applicant originally proposed to fell T3, a mature beech, which is clearly visible and an important feature of the local area. However, following a request from the tree officer for further information to substantiate the proposed works to fell the tree, the agent has undertaken a picus and resistograph drill test. And the information from these tests has shown that the degree of decay has been found to be not as extensive as initially thought, and therefore the agent has withdrawn the proposal to fell the tree and proposes to undertake lesser works. These lesser works are considered appropriate and will not be detrimental to either the health or amenity of the tree and will enable the tree to be retained. So the recommendation, based on the original proposal to fell T3 being withdrawn and lesser, more appropriate works now being requested, is to approve the works to T1, T2, T4, with the maximum diameter cuts as listed, and for the copper beech T3 to reduce the large northerly limb arising at approximately 5 metres above ground level, which bifurcates into secondary limbs immediately, by 2.5 metres with a maximum diameter cut of 75 mil, and reduce the westerly limb arising at 5 metres above ground level by 2 metres with a maximum diameter cut of 60 mil. There was one letter of support for the work.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Councillor David Poor.
Thank you, Jay. I have no problem with this at all. Go for the tree officer's report. And once again, I think we need to congratulate the tree officer for a good, detailed report and for being proactive this application.
Thank you very much. Councillor Rosser.
Yep, I agree with that.
Okay. So we have a proposer and seconder for approval. All those in favour? Okay, that's unanimous. Thank you. Okay, so we now have a planning application in Withycombe 22-1520 advertising. The Hayes Units, Liverton Business Park. The proposal is for two externally illuminated fascia signs and one non-illuminated fascia sign and one totem sign. We have no representations. Sorry, I need to look at this. The National Planning Policy Framework applies, as does the East Devon Local Plan Policy D4 for applications for display of advertisements. Councillor Frank Cullis.
Right, Chair. I don't have any problem with this application. I think we should keep an eye, because it is starting to have a bit of a glow over Liverton from some areas of town, but I recommend support for this application with that comment that we do keep an eye on what's going on and don't let anything too bright go up there in future, because, like I said, it's starting to get a bit of a glow over it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Does anybody else have any comments at all? Councillor Toy.
Yeah, I think in view of the energy situation, we should be not encouraging people to illuminate signs at the moment. You know, obviously something we cannot do, but we must make sure that at least it's with low energy bulbs and things.
Okay. Can we have a quick look later? The other thing, I'm not sure, Frank, you may know, are there any timings on when it's illuminated at all?
No, I looked for the site, and it didn't say that it was intermittent, it said it was stable, which I took to mean it probably 24/7. Mm. But I did try and find the actual time, and I couldn't see that. Mm. I was a bit confused where it was at the start as well. I think it's just gone up quite recently, that one. It's on before you get to the junction to turn down the toll station.
Yeah.
It's on the other side of the road to the Bradfords is now.
Okay.
So the Bradfords are going to have it.
On that one,
Why do we have to have the loom inside when these businesses are only open during daylight hours? And it's right down the bottom. So
it's not visible from the main road, I don't think,
no,
is it?
It's not, but why illuminate?
That's the illuminated one.
But I don't get why we they need to illuminate the sign. That's
I realise this may not be within your knowledge, Lisa, but are there any planning rules whereby we can object or on the grounds of?
It's very difficult when it's not in a conservation area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think previously we had some for the gym at the top end, didn't we? And they were huge so far.
Yeah.
We've got a wall of area.
Yeah.
I don't think any other buildings down there have a luminated.
Oh, no, but I mean, if you set your precedent, can't you, if you agree to this one? So once you agree to one, you could be free to.
They have them on the top end, though. No. There's a luminated sign at the top end.
Yeah.
This is down the bottom.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about tool station and the others that have luminated.
I don't think that's illuminated, no.
I saw on the application that it mentioned that it was static or intermittent, and it had the static box tick, which I took to mean that it would be on pretty constantly. But I can't see how it's going.
Static.
Everybody knows
the
references anyway.
Well, it's a new building, though, Mike, on the other side. But
yeah,
it looks like most of them know where it is.
We did have. I don't know if I'll be able to find it now, but when the town council was given delegated authority for determining advertising consents, we were given some guidance, because it's a bit like planning applications where there are only certain considerations. This dates back to 2012.
Come on, do you remember where it was?
Good Lord.
Well, it's our
was it very different degrees of the same sort of for the amount of light on there? Urban areas are deemed to be places where you can have quite a lot of artificial light, whereas rural areas are deemed to be places where you've got to keep the light levels low. And this is virtually a rural area. I mean, so
natural landscapes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
But I think because it's on an industrial estate,
I understand that, Councillor Rossi, but I just think it's.
You see, they're saying here that there are two issues to. There are only two issues to consider when you're considering applications: amenity and public safety. Amenity are those relating to the effect of advertisements on the appearance of buildings or the immediate vicinity of where they're displayed. Consideration of the cumulative effect of advertisements and brightness of illumination are considered to be material. Important factors to consider are the presence of listed buildings, conservation areas, or natural landscapes. An illumination, is it necessary? Is it appropriate to the location? Yeah. Materials and colours, pay attention in conservation areas and on listed buildings. List of building consents, we know about that. Avoid excessive clutter. Try to avoid excessive signage in rural areas. Natural materials and subdued colours most appropriate. And then public safety. Is it distracting or confusing or going to cause a safety hazard?
I think the only one of those we can use would be excessive lighting, but what's excessive lighting on a business park?
Mm-hmm.
Right, I think we can still use that natural.
Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah. there's something the neighbourhood have done about protecting natural light.
There's nothing in there about advertisements. No.
If that goes,
yeah, okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so it looks like there's nothing solid in what we've just been shown that that we can use necessarily. So if we can just come back and have some questions through the chair now. Councillor Toy.
Yes, I mean, comments. If this one goes through, then other business would see a precedent for them to have externally illuminated signs. And we could have a problem eventually with light pollution from that area, which is very close to an area of outstanding natural beauty. So... I don't know whether one can use that argument against them, but there would come a point where there could be so many signs that the whole business park is ablaze with light. You know, it's possible.
Okay, does anybody else have any further comments at all? Councillor Dumper?
Yeah, just to say it's a shame that we have nothing on environmental protection or energy conservation, because those sort of things, if these rules are being written now, I'm sure that there would be something included, and hopefully we can lobby for that kind of thing in the future.
Okay, any further, Councillor?
Just to say I agree with everything that Brian has said, Councillor Cagle has said.
Councillor Cagle, Fred? On the grounds. Okay, so in terms of refusal, are you, because we can make decisions on the individual signs, are you saying that we refuse the illuminated part of it?
Yeah. So they just... don't need it.
Right. Okay. Do we have a seconder for that proposal? Okay, Councillor Rosser.
Yeah.
Is that, are you able to word that, Lisa?
Yeah.
So, I guess it's no objection to the signs, but objection to the illuminated element of the signs.
But we're 100% sure that none of the other ones down there are illuminated.
I mean, McDonald's does, isn't it?
I can't say that I honestly stand in the dark and look, to be quite honest, but I don't think that
Councillor, sorry, Fred. I mean, I think McDonald's does.
The screw fix.
Councillor, of
course. The station signs are illuminated.
I don't remember it coming up.
Thank you, Chair. I think one thing we're ignoring is that this is not daytime. From about October onwards, that area is dark.
Yeah.
So public safety does kick in at that particular point. So either they have to do it summer and spring.
Yeah, kick it out. Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So on those grounds, I think we can't oppose it. Public safety will override.
Okay. I mean, I think it's a valid point, but bearing that in mind and the fact we do have a proposer and a seconder for a partial objection, do we have any further comments or can we go to the vote? Okay, so we do have a proposer and a seconder. All those in favour, all those against, and abstentions. Okay, I think there were two against, one abstention, and everybody else. Four. So that is that proposal is passed.
So approval of the non-illuminated signs.
Approval of the signs and in general,
okay.
But of the
so approval
objection.
Of all the recommendation that the
approval of the non-illuminated signs, but objection to the refusal.
I think you talk to
Fred. Sorry, I was looking at this.
Sorry.
So I couldn't see what you were voting on.
I propose that.
Sorry,
Lisa. All the signs.
Sorry, Lisa.
That's all right.
Okay, so thank you, everybody. We now move to planning applications. Application 22-1717 full, 11 Langston Drive, a provision of, this is Brixington by the way, provision of off-street disabled parking and disabled accessible rear garden. We have no comments from statutory consultees or representations.
Are quite a few signs up there that have been McDonald's, The Range.
I did wonder.
There are quite a few signs up there that are illuminated.
Okay, so in terms of the fact that it's not required because you can't see it from anywhere. Unless you're outside it. Okay. Back to 11 Langston Drive. It pertains to Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2, which I should read for the sake of... I should just be able to remember it, shouldn't I? It's bound to be that one, isn't it? Well, you'd think it was the most thumbed one. Well, it might actually have come off. EB2, there we go. Okay, so EB2, new development should be mindful of the surrounding building styles, ensure a high level of design as exemplified in the Avenue's design statement of 2005. Okay, so Councillor Cherry Nicholas.
I've got no problem with what they're hoping to achieve. Except for one point, the disabled parking that he's proposing to put in and the drop curb, Highways haven't made a comment, but it's always my understanding that you have to get permission from Highways. I know I did when we extended it because he's taking away parking places on the road. So that's the only thing I would point out, that he should, as far as I'm aware, unless they change the rules, have permission to remove that possibility of parking for other people.
I would imagine that's
a highways matter,
but yeah, I agree. I think they would. So that doesn't pertain to what we're doing now, but it is important, and they will need to do that if we grant permission, I think. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Thank you, Terry. Councillor Coleman?
Yeah, I've got a problem with this. It's obviously facilitated disabled access. I don't see big misses. People raising objections. I'm not going to object.
Councillor Kagan, Fred?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm just looking at this. In that plan, I assume that the one put two cars on the front garden, is that right?
Yeah.
So,
Is a semi.
Yeah.
The house itself is a semi,
yeah.
So that second car could well belong to the other. The parking could well belong to the other house.
Well, we don't have that.
No, I think it's.
Yeah.
Maybe not, but.
Yeah. What concerns me is that there's a lot of cars parked on the road there.
Yes. Yeah,
so then they're going to put two cars in on a raised.
I think it's just to take his wheelchair and that up through that width.
I would imagine.
I understand the drawing, Terry, that the car's already there, or are they planning to put the car parking there?
So I would imagine.
Creating a car parking space at the front of the house, and then landscaping it so that it's tiered, so that you can get two cars in there potentially.
So they would need drop curbs to enable two cars to come off the road, cross the pavement.
Yeah, and it
park.
Says proposed drop curbs from there to there.
Yeah, which is a long drop curb, so that they get both cars off the road.
So, I mean, theoretically, we could grant planning permission for them to do this, but they don't get permission to drop the curbs, which would be pertaining to your point and Jerry's point. But in terms of us granting planning permission, Are we able to comment on that? Is my question.
It's a highways matter.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, it's always difficult with these off-road parking because we end up losing gardens, and then we have concrete, and then we lose the natural drainage, which we've highlighted before at these meetings.
You'd like it to have gone to highways before and have that all in place, wouldn't you, really?
Well, I thought so, but I'm just concerned that all of a sudden we're taking cars off the road, but we didn't stop anybody else parking there because it's drop curve and it'd probably be marked for disabled access.
Yeah. Okay, so there's no comments there, is there?
I think there are a lot of houses in the area that have done exactly that, so I'm not sure whether you could say.
I also question whether or not there might be an issue in terms of discrimination and disability, especially if other houses have done it, and there's somebody with requiring disabled access.
But then the steps come down out of the car, and then they're using steps to come down. So there's a little bit element of how disabled is disabled, or anybody can be disabled internally without necessarily having a
physical disability. Yeah, entirely.
But going back to what I was saying, if you were actually making hard standing instead of grass, then you were impacting on the flood situation.
Right, you know, I do.
My concern was only that they were proposing to drop more of the curb. And you're not allowed to park in front of the drop curb, in theory.
Can we find number 11?
And whether they had permission for it, that's all.
Well, if they don't have permission for it, they can't do it.
No,
so,
I wouldn't have thought so.
So regardless
but
of what...
But you need to point it out.
Regardless of what we grant or otherwise, they won't be able to.
See, some of these houses were built with drives. They didn't come afterwards. They had drives. Some didn't have drives.
I can't tell which is number 11.
Taking up Fred's point. Can I just say there are ways of reinforcing the ground surface so it will take the weight of a car, but will still allow drainage. You can reinforce gravel areas or even grass areas. So maybe we could ask that they do that rather than just covering concrete or paving slabs.
That's certainly a possibility, potentially. I think we're completely overcomplicating this matter, personally. That is my view. We're looking at a street where loads of people have done this already that don't have disabled access. There are, and bearing that in mind, and the fact that a precedent has been set, that there is
ten to the other side. Of it.
There are very few reasons to object. But anyway.
But there's two aspects to this application.
Well, there's the drop curb and there's the roadside of it, but highways haven't commented. So at this point,
land drainage, that's an issue. We know what happens to stormwater, it goes into the combined sewage and stormwater system. We know then what happens. But I think we can ask that they devise a scheme to prevent the stormwater going into the system.
A disabled provision of a disabled accessible rear garden. I assumed that because nobody mentioned it that they were fine with that part of it.
That's the back, isn't it? Because they're going to take one of the tiers out.
Yeah.
how they're doing that, who knows.
Councillor Dumper.
Thank you. Can I make a proposal that we propose acceptance of this and include a comment on the land drainage issue that Councillor Rosser has raised? Would that, we can't deal with the drop curb because the drop curb is a highway matter. They haven't commented, but could we put that through as a proposal?
Would anybody be happy to second that?
You had a proposal and a seconder from Cherry and Andrew for approval initially.
Can I just ask?
Yeah, Councillor Kagan.
Yeah. The bit about the lighting proposal, can we throw out what the lighting proposal was? Can we just talk about lighting? Is it in the application document?
Just as composite decking, brushed basalt, slatted light grey fence, some paving.
It doesn't look like there's any massive floodlights or anything there, does it?
Well, I'd still like to see what it is.
I don't know, I can't see it.
Well,
lighting, there we go.
It's fitted lights in the decking with some wall fitted, if you go up, down a bit, Lisa, with, looks like fitted wall LEDs.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to see what size they were, because lighting could be anything, couldn't it? And next minute you've got neighbours complaining because it's too bright or something. That's fine.
Okay, so we did have, as Lisa pointed out, we did have a proposal for acceptance and a seconder, so we'll go with that initially. All those in favour of accepting, all those against? Okay, and that's everybody. Okay, so application 22-1826 full, 28 York Close. Planning permission for a single-storey front extension. We have no comments from statutory consultees, no representations. Again, this is Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2. Councillor Fred Cagill.
I can't get it on my thing. The portal doesn't work. Can we throw it up, Lisa? Well, it's not massive anyway. It looks like it's an extension to the hallway and the front door area. With a being two roofs, so. Though.
Okay. It's the old marine estate.
That's not a lot of work on it recently. I've seen the smile
on that. So, Councillor Cahill, bearing that in mind, Councillor Cahill, bearing that in mind, what are your thoughts? Do you think?
No, I'm looking at the drawing, I'm quite happy.
So, okay.
I just wanted to see what size it was in relation to the application.
Okay, Councillor Coleman.
Yeah, it looks reasonable.
Councillor Nicholas, Terry?
No, I don't think it is okay. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
I'm choosing my words carefully,
no?
Otherwise I'm very much written down.
Surely not. Okay, so in amongst there somewhere we had a proposer and a seconder for approval, so I think Councillor Cahill and Councillor Coleman. And I think some backup from Councillor Nicholson. So all those in favour? All those against? Any abstentions? Okay, so... Yes, please.
Date limit for comments, 12th of August 22. Is that a typo error?
Oh.
No, that's 28, not close.
I would hope that was the 9th.
No, I haven't got the, what does it say on the, what I'm trying to say is I don't have the planning notification, it goes to Ross and I haven't got
is it.
It should tell you on here.
I was going to say, it should tell you on there, shouldn't it?
From my understanding too, so I think we could be looking at the wrong house. I think 28 York Post was the end of that cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
Not behind the wall, the house right. Behind the wall were in Winston Road.
Are they?
Okay, it says the 17th of August on there. Oh no, that's when it was validated. So that's certainly wrong, because that was before it was even validated. So I'm guessing it must be.
September.
Yeah.
Something.
Okay.
September.
Cool. Right then.
Yeah, I think 28 York Close, and you bring it to you. It's at the end of the cul-de-sac. 28.
Yeah, it's going on.
Up there.
Yeah.
Behind that wall there, it's Winston Road.
I think we, you know, we can't rely on Google Maps. And although I'm as guilty of this as anybody, if we haven't been to see it and we can't, we haven't stood in front of it, we don't know. Folks,
those are Winston Road, those houses.
We can't tell from Google Maps, okay? None of this.
I know which one's where.
Yeah, okay. It's gone now.
Okay.
We voted on it. We need to move on. So next one is Halston, planning application 22-1751 full, 89 Byron Way, EX8 5SE. No statutory consultees. No comments from them. No representations. Again, this is Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2. Councillor Brian Toy.
Yeah, it seems like everyone in Exmouth wants to convert their garage into a side extension. I don't have any particular problems with this one. If you lose the garage, there's still plenty of room for parking in front. It does lengthen the line of the ridges of the roofs, but then you've got a very long line of ridges over the rest of the little houses in the close because they're all terraced. There's no problem with the overlooking from the side extension because it overlooks a footpath and there's plenty of greenery and vegetation there to obscure the view anyway. So I don't have any particular problems whatsoever, so I propose that we no objection.
Okay, I don't know if anybody else has looked at this one at all. Does anybody else have any comments? Councillor Dumper?
Yeah, as former member for Halston, I know the group of houses. I haven't had a look at it this time, but I would second Brian Toy's proposal.
I think what they're proposing to do is what they've done on this one here.
Okay.
So they're putting an extension above the garage here on the end. Yeah. So Councillor Toy's right, it does, it increases the terrace effect, but there is a precedent for the street.
Okay, so we do have a proposer and a seconder for approval. All those in favour? Anybody against? Any abstentions?
Who seconded it, please?
I did.
Tim. Okay, so we now move to Littleham. Planning application 22-15-93 full. 3 Hartley Road, conversion of a roof space to a habitable area, habitable use to include a front dormer and increased size permeable paved parking area. And there were amended plans for consultation, the removal of a Juliet balcony from the application, amended design to the window. On the 1st of August, we had no objection to this, to the original application. One representation says that the amended plans do not mitigate concerns regarding the privacy of the property. Again, Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2 applies. Councillor Mike Rosser.
We agreed to this application some time ago. And I would propose acceptance, providing the neighbours' concerns about being overlooked can be resolved.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it doesn't look that they have been. But if we didn't object to it before, I think we'd struggle to now. Councillor David Poor.
Yeah, we didn't object last time. I think the changes are...
Oh, sorry, no, we didn't object last time, apparently.
We didn't object, no.
Yeah, no. Oh, sorry, carry on. My fault.
So I think this is actually an improvement on the previous plan. So again, I have no problem with it.
Okay, so proposers.
Jiggers Romeo's ambitions.
Yes, it does, Councillor Toy. We have a proposer and a seconder for approval. All those in favour? Okay, that's unanimous. Thank you.
That is providing the neighbours' concerns are addressed.
Okay. Planning application 22-1709 full. 2 Real Court Drive, the proposed single storey side extension, front side extension, revised roof including rear dormer, to provide first floor accommodation, enlarged rear terrace and revised materials. There was one representation which Ron's, I believe it was, circulated to us all over the last few days. Which was, I believe, quite a passionately written letter and a photograph. Doesn't appear to be to affect the Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan. So Councillor David Poor.
Thank you, Chair. I would object to this. I think it does fail EB2 grounds. I think there is going to be an element of overlooking and loss of privacy. And I was down there today, walking from the pharmacy into town, and it would really augur the whole viewpoint from that area. So I'm going to check on those grounds.
Okay. Councillor Rosser, Mike.
Yeah, I'd second the objection. I found the drawings a bit confusing. The elevations indicated a much bigger extension than the plans. I think the proposed extension would significantly alter the roof shape, although there are no roof plans to clearly indicate this. And there is a cohesive similarity of appearance of the bungalows in this street, which I think the proposed extension would not complement.
Okay, Councillor Toy.
Yeah, I think the objectors are sort of overdoing it to some extent, overreacting. They're talking about high windows, and the access statement was talking about high quality windows. Street appearance, I think, is doubtful, but I think the overlooking aspect is the clincher, so I would object anyway.
Okay, Councillor Dumper.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. as a town ward member, the end of Royal Court Drive there actually impacts the street scene absolutely opposite our town ward. And in my view, there is absolutely no doubt that EB2, as David has said, EB2 is affected here. And I think that going up Marpole Hill and that prominent corner site having what is in effect a two-storey among a group of bungalows all around that bit will affect the area, and I would wholly oppose it.
Okay, I think the reason that I said that I think it's just been missed off in, the,
sure.
in this actually. So I think yeah. if of course it, EB2 applies, and I would agree with you. I think. Do we have any other comments at all? Okay, so proposer and a seconder for objection. All those in favour of that? Okay, that's unanimous. Brilliant. Okay, application 22-1773 full, 16 Radden Style Lane, erection of a two-storey, three-bedroom detached dwelling. We have no statutory consultee comments. We have one letter from number 15C Salterton Road, concerned that the window on the first floor in the southwest elevation may overlook them, I assume. So this again is EB2. So, Councillor Rosser?
This proposal is for a building that's slightly smaller than a previous application that was withdrawn. There's no significant change in the site plan, and as such, I think objections to the previous application are relevant to this application. And those were the proximity of the proposed new development will significantly reduce the amount of natural light to number 14. The location of the car park of the proposed new development will create noise, which could disturb occupants of number 14. Diesel number 14 state that there's a right of free access to the rear of the property in order to carry out maintenance. The location of the proposed hedging and planters and trees will prevent this. And lastly, the roots of the proposed hedging and trees could undermine the structure of 14, which doesn't have any foundation. It's an old building. I'm also concerned about the narrowness of Highfield Lane, and I doubt that it really offers adequate access. I noticed that there's no comment from Devon Highways on that point, so I would object.
Okay. According to Ron's, the previous application, we didn't object to it. As a council, we didn't object to it, and the application has reduced the scale of the proposed dwelling. But okay, Councillor Paul.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, you just said what I was going to say.
Sorry,
we didn't object last time. This actually is a smaller footprint from the previous application, which was withdrawn, and I don't think there are any overlooking problems because it's a dome. It's a Felix window. So there shouldn't be any serious overlooking issues at that particular point.
Okay. So does anybody else have any comments at all? Because we have one ward member in favour and one against. Somebody else? Okay. Personally, I think I am happy to I can't second it because nothing's been proposed as such, has it? But I personally think that because we've not objected in the past and actually the scale of it is reduced, that we'd struggle to object to it now. You spoke first, didn't you? So,
yeah, I mean, well,
okay, so if you're proposing...
Okay.
And
we are entitled to change our minds.
Okay, do we have a seconder for Councillor Paul's proposal of refusal?
Councillor Rosser.
Councillor Rosser.
What did I say?
Councillor Paul.
Oh,
God, this is so confusing. I don't know who I am anymore. Okay, so do, if we don't have a seconder for that, do we have a seconder for Councillor Paul's point of view? Okay, Councillor Cahill. So we have no, so we're now voting on whether or not, on the fact we have no objection to this. So all those in favour of no objection, all those against, and abstentions. It's probably best. I'm not sure I know where I am anymore. Councillor Toy, I might need to come and visit your business and sort my eyes out. I'm really struggling to see right now. So, planning application 22-17734, erection 16 Radden Style Lane.
We're on the next one, Devoncliffe.
We're on Devoncliffe, of course, we've just done that, haven't we? It's because there's not a line on here. There's lines everywhere else, but there isn't a line between that. Right, okay, planning application 22, it looks very different to the agenda that you see. 22-1801 full, Devoncliffe's Holiday Centre, upper deck. The applicant is Haven Leisure Limited. The proposal is for the installation of bases for the siting of 10 static caravans and decking with access, car parking, hard and soft landscaping and associated infrastructure works. We have no comments from statutory consultees or representations. The policies here are EN1, which is to do with the area of national beauty, the coastal preservation area. EN5, which is here. Oops. EN5, the impact from any additional surface water resulting from the development should be controlled and satisfactorily mitigated, not cause any adverse impact on neighbouring properties or the surrounding environment, wildlife habitat, and river and sea. So a drainage impact assessment would be required for all new development with surface runoff implications. EN6, which is development proposals must incorporate suitable urban drainage systems and management plans for future maintenance of the drainage system, unless it can be demonstrated they're not appropriate. And EE1, which is to do with tourism, proposals for tourist facilities and holiday accommodation in the Exmouth neighbourhood plan area will be supported in order to boost the local economy and enhance the promotion and development of the area as a suitable holiday destination. But proposals must consider and not adversely affect the character and functioning of the local area. So, Councillor Paul.
Thank you, Chair. I don't really have any objection to this. The area is surrounded by caravans already. My one concern is that if you look closely at the planning applications, there's reference to two more applications which are due to come in, I presume, at some point. So the question I was going to ask the town clerk is how do we actually keep an eye on incremental traffic changes on a site like Haven? Because if they keep on putting in additional caravans, we don't necessarily pick up the overall big picture. But I have no objection, but I do have concerns.
It's difficult because there is a cumulative impact.
There's a lot, sorry.
Cumulative impact.
Yeah.
Subsequent.
Yeah. I mean, one would hope that if everything was functioning properly, if for example, the access in terms of the roads issue is becoming a problem, you would hope that highways would pick that up and say something about limiting the size of it. But in an ideal world, but who knows? Councillor Rosser.
Right, 2017, Sandy Bay had a blue flag. September the 19th, 21, somebody wrote, I visited the beach on Friday the 17th, only to be greeted by a strong smell of sewage. and on the eastern end of the beach there was a steady flow of discoloured water with toilet paper mixed in with it, exiting from the rocks by an overflow pipe. This was flowing into the sea where children were playing. If you look at the drainage plan for this site, it doesn't actually show that the sewage will go into the sea, but it goes in that direction. So I suspect that it may well do that. And I would object.
Sorry, can I just ask, are you suggesting that, honest question here, are you suggesting that you think they're putting the sewage from the Haven camp?
If you look at if you look at the drainage plan, you follow the pipe down, it doesn't actually show where it ends up.
It can't end up in the sea, surely.
Can I finish? It goes in the direction of the eastern end of Sandy Bay. And we have, I've not been down there myself and seen it directly, but we have hearsay evidence, if you want, that raw sewage is going into the bay. We know that they've lost the blue flag. So I think on balance of probability, the more caravans they put there, the more sewage is going to go into Sandy Bay. And on that basis, I object, unless they can convince me with evidence that more sewage will not be going into Sandy Bay.
Okay. Councillor Cahill.
Thank you, Chair. I've got a couple of points. First one is, historically, when Sandy Bay was first muted by old Farmer Lee of two or three generations ago, he got three acres of permission for setting up a caravan park. And as we know, it's developed what it is now, now owned by Haven Holidays, Haven Leisure. Question I would ask Lisa, this committee, and I know what she said about cumulative effect, but surely there must be something written down somewhere in some document, whether it's with East Devon District Council, whether it's with whoever, as to what is the point where saturation point is reached. I've actually worked at Haven, putting in these slabs and caravans many years ago. All of the caravans are linked up with the sewage network, which the site has its own sewage network, which goes into the sewage system. They don't go out of the pipe at the far end of the beach by the ramp. I can assure you of that. That's not part of the sewage network. That's a drainage pipe. So my question is, at what stage can we find out where the point is where they can have no more caravans on that site? Otherwise, if they've got land that they own or lease, they could carry on putting caravans up, and so on and so forth. There must be a cut-off point. But do we know what that cut-off point is?
I would imagine that we're not aware of that. It's a really good question.
Because if they're asking for it now, and I think, did you allude, Councillor Rosser, to some other applications? Was it you or David Poor alluded to some other applications?
No, I think it was David, yeah.
It was David. So if this is 10 now, and there's two more coming with another 10 and another 10 behind, that's 30 caravans, 30 families, 30 times more sewage going in the network. So at what point do we say, no more caravans?
Okay, absolutely. We'll go to Frank and into you. Frank.
Yeah, Joe. Regards to Councillor Cahill, I think this development is in the caravan site. If they were out on an external field, we could then object to the grounds that the effect it'll have on the local area and the scenery. But I believe as they're in the field, and already surrounded by caravans, I think that sort of gets rid of that argument.
Well, with due respect, Frank, knowing the site as I do, they still have the fields surrounding.
But what I'm saying, Fred, if the fields are on the higher, more visible, we could then object to those, whereas we can't use this argument that on these lands?
Well, we can if we know that there is a
figure where they can't park in the car ones up.
But they haven't got that yet, have they?
Well, we don't know.
Okay, okay. This is a moot point right now. I think so. Councillor Ross was next, and then Councillor Toy.
I would say saturation point has been reached. I mean, if you're in the gridlock in the Salterton Road because of the traffic from that site, I would say saturation point's been reached. If raw sewage is going into Sandy Bay, I would say saturation point has been exceeded.
I mean, I think, Lisa, it might be worth, if we were able to, contacting Highways and seeing if they have any thoughts on this, and also East Devon Planning, and finding out if there is any sort of documentation at all that suggests there is a limit on size, either nationally in terms of planning frameworks or in terms of this site in particular. Councillor Toy was next.
Yeah, I think, you know, all of these applications which are going to increase the load on the sewage, and we know South West Water can't cope. We're having excessive amounts of pollution going into the sea. We must be thinking about some sort of sewage embargo now. Unfortunately, when there was one on before, the sewage embargo was actually applied by South West Water itself. Our South West Water is being rather naughty and is allowing all this pollution. I don't know who could impose the sewage embargo on these sort of things, but I think something that needs to be considered until they can get their act together.
Okay, so initially we had, Councillor Kagan.
Can I just ask Lisa to go back to that document, because the question I asked may be already answered.
No, it doesn't. It just says that this is the.
No, it's the second paragraph. In relation to landscape visual effects. The
authority states that cumulative development error of all three sites represents a very. That's the land assessment, which is the one I'm just trying to pull out.
Yeah, 1.9.
It's this landscape architect, landscape appraisal.
Talks about 59 hectares in that paragraph, please.
Mentions that the neighbourhood plan says will support tourism applications for tourist accommodation, mentions that.
Chair, that is beautiful facts. I've been through this application in detail. The overall plan
is to put up 39 new caravans.
Okay, so with that, was that with the two or three applications that you talk about? Okay,
yes.
That's cool. Councillor Cullis, you want to say something?
Well, I was just going to say, we do need to remember that Devon Cliffs is a quite a large employer and supports the tourist industry of the town, and so it should be supported if we can.
Okay, Councillor Coleman, do you want to say something?
Well, I was going to say, perhaps you should somewhere consult South Bend Water or the Environment Agency on the potential impact of the extra caravans.
I think, which was it? Was it EE? I don't know what they were now.
EE1.
EE1 and EE.
EE1 is the tourism.
Yeah. And we also had EE5 and 6, didn't we? Was it? What to do with. No, it wasn't 5 and 6. EN5. Yeah, so the EN5 was to do with drainage. EN6 was to do with drainage. So I imagine, you know, they have put in their plan for that, and when it gets to the planners at East Devon, and if you know that they will write a report about it, and they will decide whether or not that meets their conditions.
Also about sewage, there's enough facility there to handle all the sewage.
Can we write a note about
there
that?
So in the landscape assessment, there are paragraphs about cumulative effects, but it's from the viewpoint of the developer justifying that the cumulative impacts are considered minimal in the context of it being a very small proportion of an overall site.
It doesn't extend the footprint.
There's nothing in there that says, there's nothing in there from a local authority point of view, and right. I'm not aware of anything that Fred was requesting in terms of NPPF or local plan. At what point is something considered?
They're covering up green space, which is on the right-hand side of the road before you get down to the beach. But when I worked there, they were doing this.
Yeah.
They're green space with more cameras or no cameras or cameras.
Okay, so.
Can I just add that I don't not support tourism? I do not, I'm not against it in principle. What I'm cautious of is where does it stop?
I think it is a really good question, but I think in terms of this application, we need to consider this application. But I do think there is some scope for Ron's or Lisa to go away and find that out. Yeah, yeah. Councillor Dunfer.
Yeah, a couple of points, Chair. One is I must declare an interest. I'm sorry, I forgot about this. Being a partner of the AONB, so it's within the AONB. The other thing to say is. Can I suggest that somehow or another, and I'm not quite sure these days with the rules that District Council Planning has got, but somehow or another, this application must go before the Planning Committee and not be done on delegation. I think anybody who saw the programme last night, Channel 4 Dispatches, will know that the problem that arises nationally about sewage discharges and the hard truths that are being told around the country. And I think all of our local elected representatives need to be able to consider this carefully. Thank you.
Okay. Bearing that in mind, initially David Paul proposed no objection. Does anybody want to second that? Okay, so that's fine. And are you happy for, is that possible, first of all, Lisa, for us to request, even if we have no objection, we can request that it goes to?
Well, we can request it, but there's a formula that if the town council and the ward members approve it, and it's in line with officer recommendation, then it doesn't have to go to committee.
Okay.
The flowchart is such that it only goes to committee if it's a major application, or if the views of the ward member and or the town council and or the officers are not in alignment.
Okay.
So we can request it, but it will follow the flowchart.
Right. Okay.
The best thing is that if any ward member objects, and that's not in agreement with what we're recommending or the officers are recommending, then it will go to committee.
Okay. And that's a district ward member, is it? Or is that town ward member?
Right,
okay.
Member.
Okay,
Frank. I think I should need to make comments. I think we're making assumptions about what they're doing with their sewage. We don't know that they're pumping it straight out to sea. And I think that could be.
Yeah. I was saying that I want,
okay, folks. I don't think. Go on, Councillor Rosser. Respond.
Yeah, I'm not saying there's first-hand evidence that sewage from this will go into the sea. I'm saying there's hearsay, circumstantial evidence that suggests it may well do. And what I want is evidence that it will not. I think that's been perfectly reasonable.
If we were to request, whatever happens with this application here, if we were to request that there was a meeting and maybe you speak to your district members and get them to make a contribution or maybe object to it and request that it goes to to district planning, that might be useful. Okay, but we do have a proposer and a seconder for no objection. So all those in favour of that? All those against? And abstentions? 4 abstentions, 3. Okay, so that is objected to.
Objected to, okay.
So you don't need to do any of that now.
So do I need to propose?
No, we've objected to it. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Oh. Town Ward, application 221711 full, 22A Exeter Road, alterations to fenestration. There are no comments from statutory consultees, no representations. This is Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2. It is in a conservation area. Councillor Tim Dumper.
Thank you very much, Chair. Yeah, from what I can see, this application is actually aimed at rather improving the situation of a rather out-of-keeping window being... because it's an interesting building, that one on the corner of Meeting Street. I think they're bringing the windows into alignment with the ones... these are the top floor windows, into alignment with the ones on the first floor. And I think it's a wholly good proposal, and I would propose no objection.
I have no objections as well. Where they're replacing wooden ones with PVC ones and stuff, there'll be better insulation and all of that. And I just think it's, I have no objections too. So we have a proposer and a seconder for approval. All those in favour, assuming there are no more comments. No. Okay, so that's unanimous. Whitaker Royally, 221730 full. 2 Laurel Rise, a proposed single-storey rear extension and loft conversion. We have no comments from statutory consultees. We have one letter of representation. Laurel Rise is a narrow single-track cul-de-sac. Construction vehicles need to give consideration to access for the residents in Laurel Rise. Construction work should be restricted to Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And procedures should be in place for removal of any hazardous waste. Or otherwise it'll just get left there, I guess. So this is Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2. Councillor Frank Cullis.
Thank you, Chair. Would the letter of objection, would that be regarding civil matters, Lisa, so not a planning consideration? His objection?
I think it's a point we're allowed to make.
Is it?
We're not necessarily allowed to impose conditions at this level, okay. but we can suggest that, you know.
Okay, well, we'll take that on board. Overall, I haven't really got any objections. It's kind of tucked away. But what does concern me is that he's ticked the box that no trees will be removed during the construction. I went up today, and it's obvious that quite a large, substantial tree has already come down. You can see the stump of it, and there are tree surgeons on site when I was up there today. If you look at it from Google Maps, it's surrounded by woodland. I'm a bit concerned that he's not been wholly honest to what he's doing. So is there any way we can recommend that the tree surgeon goes up there and see and has a look at what he's done?
Yeah.
Overall, I don't have any objections to the house, but you know, my objection maybe would be around the way he's applied and that he's taken trees down
already, in which case, of course, there are no trees in the way.
Yeah, I don't know really what to propose, acceptance or a refusal for that, really. Any guidance?
I think what you said is perfectly valid. It's a bit like the previous one where we can vote one way because you have no objection to the building. But if you have concerns about what's going on, we can mention that there are concerns about trees. And the fact that we think there may have been trees there before.
I very much doubt, I'm guessing it wouldn't have had a TPO on it, but I would have said the tree which came down was quite substantial and would have had some kind of amenity for the area, even though it was kind of tucked away a little bit.
Yeah.
But seeing what was left of the tree, I would have thought that would have been quite a substantial tree that he's taken down. Mm. And from looking at the plot from a heads down from Google Earth, there seems to be more trees around the back of it. So if he's taken that tree down, I can't see any reason why he wouldn't clear the rest of them if that's his agenda.
And again, like with the previous one, speak to your district member.
And also be honest on your bloody form. You're going to cut trees down and say you're going to cut the trees down.
Yeah.
Sorry, what do I say, what do I propose, Joe?
Well, you've sort of proposed exceptions.
Yeah.
But just make sure, you know, we will write something in the report about the trees, and we will also, also if you speak to your district representative, they can take it to, you know, they can make a representation, assuming they agree with you, and they can investigate for you.
Can you word that for me and Joe, Lisa? Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. I propose whatever Lisa has worded and Joe said.
Cool. Do we have a seconder for whatever that was?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Dumper. So, bearing in mind the comments regarding the fact that we think there may have been trees there that aren't anymore, we have a proposer and a seconder for approval, I think. All those in favour? Cool. Okay. Oh, dear joy. So now we move to licensing. Now, am I right in suggesting, did you discuss this at the last meeting and then it was...
Deferred it.
You deferred it, right, okay. Yeah. Was that so I'd be here, so you could all give me grief about it?
We deferred it because members were concerned that the new licensable area would encroach on access
yes,
for
in terms
users,
of the ramp, yeah.
Public users. But we queried it with the licensing team, and they have come back and said that the new benches will not block ramp access or prevent in any way wheelchairs or prams from using the ramp. They did attach an image, but Ron's hasn't forwarded that to me, so I haven't seen it, where they say that the quickest route to the benches from a customer perspective is by the front stairs, so it's not going to encroach on ramp access, in essence.
There is some images.
Oh, yeah, there was, yeah.
Okay.
There is images of the frontage, the side, and the side. To the side and one of the frontage.
Is that attached to the end of...?
It was actually just appeared on the email.
Certainly they are not kind of to them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think there were some pictures underneath it as well. Project Hemingway Limited. Crikey. Councillor Cahill.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah. Yeah, we did discuss this last time, and I've got to be honest, looking at the site itself, I believe that it's now become to a point where it's just taking the mick. That you have a pavement, you have a cycle path, you have a paved area which was never designed for tables and chairs and people sitting and drinking right on the edge of the public area. The design of the establishment for drinking and eating was on their particular patio area. It's never designed to be in this particular area. So I actually object to it on those grounds that it's too close to the public area. Furthermore, I have seen over the last few days a vehicle parked on the paved area, and I believe it's a coffee van. Now, I don't know how that works with regard to permission to just suddenly pitch up and park on the paved area. Now, whether it belongs to Mickey's as a business or not, surely you've got to be have permission or license.
You need a street driving license.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't ever recall seeing anything about whatever it was. It was a grey van, which I think.
Here, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was. I think it was a coffee van.
I think it was a cider van.
A what?
A cider van.
Oh, was
cider
it?
Van. Well, I mean, okay. Well. I was only passing in the vehicle and I saw it there. So
I think it was like Sandford Orchards or something.
I
see, again, there are licensing implications with that,
yes.
Surely.
Well, that's my point, you know, that they've got this vehicle parked there, and if it's selling cider, as Lisa's rightly pointed out, how can they allow that to happen when it hasn't gone through due
process? I request that you just write an email to Steve at the licensing, or Leslie Barber at the licensing department, and just say you think you saw that happening.
Well, I know I saw the vehicle.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a cider van.
Right, okay.
I don't know. It had something on it about Maybe it's apple juice.
Well, whatever it's selling,
say Sanford, did you?
Whatever it's selling, it's an issue, isn't it? Because it's got to have a trading licence. But going back to the tables and chairs on the frontage, I actually disagree. And I would propose. But also, looking at the drawings rather than the photographs, I was on the understanding when all this was in its design stage that the blue area on the drawing was a
event space.
Now, what's an event space? Is it an event space for a street theatre? Is it for... All of a sudden, now we're asking for it to have a licence. Well...
I think that part of it had a... So when you say the blue space, do you mean the bit off to the side?
Yeah, the dark blue. I think I've covered the pavement bit.
Yeah, I think that bit is on the licence already. That's not a new area for this application. The only changes have been, as far as I'm aware... because I queried all of this, knowing that the issues that we had with the first application, I'm assured the only changes to the previous licence are the addition is the extension of the licensing space out the front, just along there, basically where it is there, and yeah.
Yeah, but further, going back to my original objection, also, if you look there, presumably that's where they're going to put tables and chairs. Well, another time that I went past the area where the Edge have got their coffee shop, they were having a great old shindig down there. Now, I don't remember that going in front of a...
And they have got a licence, yeah.
They have a licence, but not an event. It's one thing having a licence to sell alcohol, but setting up a paved area as an event, surely...
I don't know. It's a
different ballpark. Because it was encroaching onto the pavement.
If it's encroaching onto the pavement, then that is an issue. If it's on their land, it's not.
But
yeah, I know.
It's a very new point because it's too close to the pavement.
I mean, I'd like to know where the water sports centre's gone, if I'm honest, but that's another issue. So with this, we don't necessarily need to vote in terms of yay or nay, do we, Lisa? We can write down. If anybody has any views they want Lisa to send on, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say anything. Does anybody, I mean, all good points, Fred. Does anybody else have any? Councillor Rosser.
So, I echo Fred's objection. I think it's, you need to have a bit of space between the cycle path and the parkway and the terrace.
Bit like Sandy Bay, where does it stop?
Oh, absolutely.
The trouble is that, as you know from previous applications, that you can only object on one of four licensing objections.
Well, I think it's a public safety issue.
I think if they're regularly overstepping onto the pavement, yes, it definitely is. But like most licensing things, you have to let it happen, and then you have to enforce, which is crazy. But though, to be fair, a lot of the objections to do with this initially were things to do with noise, and there's not been a single complaint about it, I think. So in terms of it generally being licensed, official complaint, I think it's fine. But Councillor Toy, I'm aware that Crystal Palace kick-off in 3 minutes.
We can't accept or refuse it anyway, can we? We're just being notified of the effect. All we're asked for is to give our opinion.
Yeah, and that's what we've done. Yeah.
They don't necessarily have to take that opinion on board whatsoever, do they, really?
Absolutely.
Well, I've given my opinion. It would be nice to hear other people's opinions.
Councillor Rosser.
Can they just put as many tables and benches and what have you as they want in that area? Cover the whole paved area with them?
If it's their licensable area, up to a point, yeah. I mean, I think when you have a licensable area, so it's not all of the pavement. And if it was all of the pavement outside of the front, taking up all of their land, we would definitely say, hold on, that's ridiculous. That's a public safety issue potentially. It is just a small rectangle at the front of their thing. But you're right. Where does it stop?
If it was a licensable area, surely the patio would be further out, and there wouldn't be steps, and there wouldn't be a ramp. It would be a wall.
They've seen the opportunity for a few more tables to be fit in, and they've gone.
It's pushing the curves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we could say that if they covered the whole area, it would be in with tables, it would be ridiculous. But that's not a grounds for objection, apparently.
It's not, because that's not what they're applying for. We're
being told that there are these four criteria for licensing. Fair enough.
Mm.
But I'm just asking, well, can is there any limit to the amount of paving they can cover with tables and chairs? I mean, there was a big row in the, not the parade, the, what's it called?
Strand.
The Strand, wasn't there, about that issue?
I didn't hear about that.
You may remember, Joe. I mean, so I'm just asking. I'm just trying to learn what the rules are, if there are any.
I think the difference with...
Or did you go to Facebook?
The difference with Strand is that it's perceived as a public area.
Yeah.
This licensable area is within the sideshore boundary site. It's not encroaching on land that already has a public use for events.
Much as we'd like to think it was a public space, like, yeah, it's their land.
It is public land because
yeah, absolutely.
Use, but it's not.
Because
if they bury it,
we'd all get angry about that, though.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do with it.
Yeah. No. So I think people have made their comments. Oh, sorry. Councillor Port.
The Chair, I agree with some of the comments being made, but if the licensing authority officers are saying they support it, there's no way we can object. Any way.
You can comment,
but you cannot object.
We can object.
Let me go, Ari.
Yeah, probably yeah. Kicked out, because when we've objected on public safety on stronger grounds,
okay. Yeah.
But the definition of public safety, as we found when Steve Saunders gave the licensing briefing to members, is somewhat different to our perception of public safety.
I think we could raise a query about all this drinking in public places, because children can or walk around the Strand, they can see people drinking, they can see adults drinking excessively. And they may accept that as being the normal for how you carry on in life. We can but query it. We can't do anything about it. Maybe these areas should be sealed off or something, a screen.
Could you have that conversation? Could you have that conversation with George Nightingale and Oliver Bainbridge then to see what they felt about that? I take your point. I do take your point.
Tony Blair and his government.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we should move on to... the other new premises license application, the Italian store, 1 Roll Street, who I believe also have a pavement license, which has...
Oh, good old Italian name, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not going to comment, Brian. I'm not going to comment. Does anybody have any comments on this one? Councillor Dumper and then Councillor Cahill.
Yeah, just to say, I think that assuming there is a pavement license of some sort there, then I don't think the hours or what he is asking for is unreasonable, and I wouldn't make any negative comment.
Basically, I think it's to 5 o'clock in the evening or something, yeah, isn't it? So it's basically to serve Irish coffees in the morning and glasses of what I assume is Italian wine. Until 5. Councillor Cahill.
I haven't got any problem with what his licence application is. If he, as you say, glass of wine with a bit of food with him. What I would question is he's had tables and chairs out there for quite a long time. Has he got a licence for those tables and chairs on that?
Is he serving... he does have a pavement licence, yeah.
He does?
He does, yeah, I believe.
Oh, right. It's something that obviously I've missed then in the big scheme of things.
Yeah, I think that was one of the ones...
I mean, if you say he's got a pavement license, that's fine. I thought we'd missed
it. Because I queried it with licensing to check, because that was my first thoughts initially.
Okay.
That's happened. Some awful bloke sang at it. Right, okay. So the other thing is a the application for a street cafe license, so effectively the same payment license for postcards, which is what used to be
the wine Gossips. Hub,
the Gossips. Wine hub, and then Gossips with the lovely Carol in charge. Does anybody have? I mean, it's basically, I think, in terms of what their tables have been in the past, and
they want to move them around the front.
They want to do it, and it actually seems more squashed up to the building because it used to amalgamate with the bar over the ways table.
I think it's to make them more visible.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, because you are kind of hidden there. So does anybody have any comments or objections with that one?
I support it.
Yeah, absolutely. Councillor Dunfer?
Yeah, no problem at all. I think it's fine.
Cool.
Chair, can I make up a follow-up comment from last meeting?
Yeah.
Oh, right. It was at the end of the meeting. It's about the York Inn, that was all.
I was just going to say, we'll just go through the, so notification of tree preservation order, lands are north of Bystock Court, there was a letter attached. The planning decisions, 14 Foxholes Hill, we had no objection, they refused. 220721 Furlan and 220722 listed building assent. I imagine that was that the electric charger? That's 16 Windsor Square. Was that the removal of the wall?
No.
We had no objection and they refused.
Same one you're thinking of was Clarence Road one?
Yeah. Housen Avenue, we didn't object and they refused. And Sherwood.
The removal of garden wall to rear garden, creation of
Oxford. Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yes.
So they refused that.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. And Sherwood on Foxholes Hill, we objected and they approved. And to close the meeting, thoughts from Councillor Fred Cagle.
Right, thank you. Yeah, it was to follow up on last meeting where we discussed the York Inn and the pavement application. Pavement and the 2.5 metres was, I said to George, why don't you suggest, and it was really a suggestion, that if they moved their table and seating back and make a walkway around the seating area, so the seating area is back to the front fascia of the building, so that would make it easier for them to manage their drinking area, their doorman, they're serving, etc., etc., because they can come straight out that big French window into their drinking area, which would then allow the public to walk around, and then maybe we could have it pavement barriered off or something.
Well,
I haven't had an answer yet.
Okay. Might be wide enough for a disability school.
Oh yes, yeah. If they moved it back.
There are planters there as well.
Yeah, which are there are planters there as part of the barrier, if you like. But he was going to talk to them and see how they felt. I said, well, come back to me and then I'll take it back to the
thanks for taking that on, because that one appeared while I was away. And I think I spoke with two or three people just saying the number of times I've walked past and where you have the doors open, the number of times you walk past and somebody comes out with three pints and you feel like you're in their way.
Yeah.
The fact there's a complete open access at the front.
Yeah.
I guess the alternative is just to have people coming in and out of the door. But
and we also talked about how intimidating it felt for people going past.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it
absolutely.
Joined into the building and people could walk around the outside quite safely, that might be an alternative. Mm. You know, it might be a way of agreeing to something.
Yeah, definitely.
So as soon as George comes back to me, I'll bring it back.
Excellent. So thank you, everybody.